Every song you hear is worshiping something, right? And so Absolutely. Why wouldn't my worship want to be centered around the one who deserves it the most? I've received everything that I have as a gift from him, everything. God's gonna use you, just tune your heart to his.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Hi everyone, this is Corinne James, the host of the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. And today, our special guest is Joy Poole. She just put out a single called Yours. It is absolutely beautiful. And I am so thankful that she's here with us today. And I am grateful that you have all chose to join in with us in the conversation. So Joy, tell me about yourself. Tell me about your family, your kids. Yeah. Just let's start off right there.
Okay. Wow. Well, thank you for having me, first of all. It's just an honor and a privilege to be able to sit here across from you and have some conversation, and hopefully it is encouraging to other people, and whatever the Lord wants to do, he's going to do it.
Amen.
So thank
Amen.
You so much.
Amen.
Yes, so I have been married now for, gosh, in August it was 19 years to my husband, Jason, and we have three beautiful boys. We have Jacob, who is going to be 16 in November, which is wild to me. Eli, who will be 14 in October 2nd of this year. So literally just over a week and a half, I think.
Wow. Yep.
And Titus, who just turned 11. We've been living in Whitensville now for about 7 years. And before that, we lived in Douglas. But I was born and raised in Worcester. I lived in Worcester all my life. And then got married. And of course, we moved closer to kind of where his parents were, which was this Blackstone Valley area. So
it's a beautiful area.
It is a beautiful area. And we're so blessed to be able to have family around us, and that my family, my parents, Janet and Stephen LaPointe, live in Worcester.
I don't know them. Everybody knows them. Someday I'll meet them. Everybody's like,
oh my gosh.
Joy's parents. I'm like, I don't know who they are. Someday.
Yeah, well, you will meet them. I cannot wait to introduce you to them. But they still live in my home house in Worcester. And yeah, I've been a believer now since I was 5. My parents were Christians when I was born. They were Catholic. And then the Lord just had an encounter with them individually, and they both gave their lives to Jesus on their own, and that was shortly before I was born.
Perfect.
So I was raised in a Christian home, and it was about, I know you'd kind of get, I'll tell you about myself, I'll tell you anything you want to know. I can remember laying in my bed at 5 years old, and I just remember I could not stop thinking about Jesus. I couldn't stop thinking about needing to know who Jesus was. I just had this deep-seated need. Now, I know that I'd been in Sunday school at some point, so I had knowledge, but I needed to know. And I remember calling my mama, and she sat on my bed, and I said, I need you to tell me about Jesus. And she just started to share the story from creation all the way to the crucifixion and the resurrection. And she's an artist, an incredible artist, and I could go on about that, but I had one of those chalkboards in my room, you know, little art easels, and she drew the hills with the crosses and explained all of salvation.
Wow.
And at that age, I knew I needed a savior.
Like, I love that.
In whatever I could understand of the sin nature in my own 5-year-old little heart, mm-hmm. I knew I needed a savior.
I mean, it literally talks about childlike faith.
Yep.
God calls us all to childlike faith.
Yep.
So at 5 years old, absolutely, it was real.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And so I remember she prayed with me, and then I remember getting up and like freaking out that I had made this decision. I was so excited. And I remember running down the stairs and jumping into my dad's lap and just saying, I'm born again, Daddy.
I can just picture yeah. Jesus. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Right. Aww.
And so I've been walking with Jesus since that age. And that's why I just think, you know, never underestimate the childlike faith, you know, when you talk about
mm-hmm.
that and,
mm-hmm.
and being in kids ministry. And I say this to any of you that are out there listening who, you know, serve in your churches or have been a part of kids ministry in your church, like those were instrumental and foundational parts of my growing in my walk with the Lord. And I'm blessed to have been raised in a church that had people who really truly showed me the love of Jesus, even outside of my own family, and how it was faith building for me. And so anybody that's out there that, you know, serves with kids on Sunday school or teaches in youth groups and stuff, like, do not devalue what you're doing on a Sunday morning, because I get to sit here today because I've had foundational and instrumental people that have played a part in my life. So
yeah, I love that. My daughter, my oldest daughter, was 3 and a half, and I remember we were driving in the car and listening to worship music, and I was the first one that had a relationship with the Lord.
Yeah,
I got saved when I was 19. So my children grew up in a Christian home, and I just talked about Jesus all the time, listened to worship music. And I remember her in the back, she was like 3 and a half going, "Tell me more about Jesus. Well, I want that. Well, he goes in my heart. How does that work?" You know, and just all these questions that come out. So it is, it's childlike faith. And when I was brought up in the Catholic Church, it was the same thing, going to confirmation classes and all this. And I remember, see, you said you got it. I remember them talking about Jesus. And inside of me, I'm like, what does that mean? Like, who is that? And I remember getting up enough courage one day to raise my hand and be, well, who really is Jesus?
Yeah.
And she started telling me all the stories. And I'm like, no, that's not what I mean. Like, who really is he? Mm-hmm. Well, he's the Son of God. And I just remember leaving going, I'm missing something. But that foundation is great because that cultivated a curiosity of who Christ was.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it was from that age. And it never, like, even when you go through, and I'm sure maybe you probably had the similar experiences and people that are listening have as well that were raised in a Christian home, is you have those moments in your adolescence and your young adult years and your rebellious years. And I had mine, you know, I had those moments where, especially in middle school, you know, high school, where you really do struggle with your identity. Mm-hmm. And those are such formative years. We know that. And looking back, I can go, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I persevered through all of that depression, anxiety, and all that unknown, because it's so easy to lose sight of there's something beyond all of that inner angst that you're battling as a young adult, a youth, and just really trying to find your place in the world where you're not a child anymore, but you're not really an adult. And we all go through those, making decisions that feed the wrong side of your identity than what you're supposed to be.
I'd love to hear that story, because that was new for me, because I got saved at 19. So I was done. I was sold out for the Lord. Yeah. My life was completely changed. So then I raised my kids in the Lord, and I just assume they're just going to be, they got saved, so they're just on the right path and that's it.
Yeah.
So I'm finding out later on now, speaking to other people who were brought up in a Christian home, that, so it's not the same. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's still a relationship with Christ. They're still saved.
Yeah.
But they still have to walk their journey figuring that out.
Yeah.
It was different for me because I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. Like, well, you should just be sold out for the Lord. Not that they're not, but I'm just assuming they're not going to go through all this. Right. I don't know what I was thinking. Just, I don't know, but
I wish I could say we don't. And you know what? There are some who I do believe that I didn't walk into a lot of things I could have.
That right there. That's exactly it. And that's really what the Lord showed me. It's like, but it's nothing.
Yeah.
What you had to go through.
Yeah.
Their stuff is not going to be anything like that, you know? So it's that Holy Spirit protection that, you know, you're going out little by little trying to figure it out, but you're still, you know, encompassed by the Lord, you know, he still has a hold of you.
Exactly.
You know, that you're not going to go that far, you know?
And honestly, I can say, because of the church I was raised in and the relationships with, and I didn't have family. I didn't have like cousins. I didn't have a sister. I had my brothers. My church family was my family.
I love that.
Those friendships, even though we didn't live necessarily close to each other, you know, I was in Worcester. I had one of my best friends, Alicia, in Upton, and Carrie in Upton. And there were these friendships that were foundational to me to help me stay grounded, because our families had the same, you know, beliefs, the same morals, the same, they were all being raised the same way. And if one of us, you know, teetered out on the edge, the other one was like, what are you doing over there?
Come on over.
You know, and it was really, it was really so important for me. And I also had friendships that weren't that way and that led me in other ways. And so you deal with that, like, especially in those younger years where you're just trying to fit in, you're trying to figure things out. And so you lean into what, you know, feels like you're, you know, people are validating you and making you feel like you're worth something or whatever.
Yeah, it's like you want to grow up.
Yeah.
And you're trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing I wanted to ask you was your boys' names.
Yes.
So tell me about that. Is that something you just wanted to pick biblical names? Is it something the Lord put on your heart? Did you pray about that? Yep. I'm just kind of curious on that because they're all biblical.
Yep, they are. We did. We weren't necessarily like, oh, they have to be biblical. But at the same time, that was really, I mean, my husband and I just both leaned right into biblical names, the strength of them, the stories behind them. And honestly, Jacob, when we had him originally, his name was going to be Wiley, which was a family name.
Okay.
And we toyed with Jacob and we toyed with Wiley, and we had leaned on like, it's going to be Wiley Poole. We didn't know what the middle name was. And we had him, you know, there was a, you know, you get induced. It was our first one. And then we end up with emergency C-section and that whole, you know, those things that so many women can relate to. And I remember holding him in my arms and I'm looking at him and I'm going, it's Jacob.
I love that.
And so we looked at each other and we just both agreed, like, this is Jacob. Yeah. And then we said, Jacob Wiley Poole. And I thought to myself, we used both of them at the same time.
Exactly.
And so that was his. And it was funny because he was always a Wiley one. And I was like, man, we should have just picked a different name, you know, between Jacob and like the story behind the biblical name of Jacob. Yeah. And then Wiley, we could have doubled down on that one. And then with Eli, it was the same thing. We had been praying and, you know, just asking the Lord. And that was the name that had bubbled to the surface. And when he was born, it was just, this is it.
That was it. Yep. Yeah.
And the same with Titus, you know, it was just, we knew it was a strong, and, you know, we knew that he was going to be a boy and he had two older brothers and we wanted a strong name and a, you know, strong character. And that was what, when we prayed, it was, that name was what the one that bubbled to the surface. And
I love that because names are so important. And when I was pregnant with my oldest, I had babysat for somebody who had a daughter named Michaela. And I was just like, I love that name. Mm-hmm. I'm naming my daughter that. That's it. And I remember being pregnant and just, I, you know, in my devotional time, just felt like I want to stop praying for her by name.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me, did you ask me?
Yeah.
And I was like, ask you. It takes me a while. I don't know about you. When God talks, I have to, it's like two or three times I'm like, ask you what? And I just went back praying again. Ask me. I was like, oh. And then I was like so full of like just awe. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, Lord, I am repenting. Like, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think. And I started saying, what do you want to name her? She's yours. You know, whatever you want to name her. And he immediately said to me, God is so good. He immediately said to me, go look up her name. And her name means who is like the Lord.
Yeah.
It was just confirmation that he put that in me, but he wanted me to ask.
Yes.
And it was just, here you go.
He wanted you to understand the importance of it. Yeah. Yeah.
So I find that I love talking about children and their names and all of that stuff, because I mean, God does that so much in the Bible.
Oh my gosh. All
He's
the time.
Always changing names.
My mom was just sharing the story of my name to the people that we had over for dinner the other night, because she had this whole journey with the Lord about, you know, naming. She didn't know I was a girl, but she knew I was a girl because he had told her,
you
know?
Yeah.
So, and what he decided my name would be, and she wanted it to be Jenny, and they had this little argument back and forth. And
oh my gosh, I think I will love your mother.
Yeah. You're going to love her. You can hear that story from her.
But, I love that.
He said her name will be Joy. And so she was like, ugh, Lord, you know, can I just name her, you know?
But, oh my gosh, I love that. And hysterical. Look at you. You bring so much joy with worship. You know, I mean, that name was 100% from the Lord.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she looks now and says, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Lord.
And
yep,
she knows, like, when, and you can hear it from her, but she said that when, after all of it was said and done and I was there, and I was a girl after all, and her and my dad looked at each other and Fishy's Joy. Yes. So that was it. Oh, so
I love it. That's so good. So what do you do now? I know that you're a worship leader. Is this like your full-time job? What do you do?
Yeah, so I am part-time technically at LifeSong for worship team leading.
Okay.
And originally that's what I was hired on for. I served and led there for 12 plus years, building and helped build the team from the foundation. We were part of the foundation's team.
Now, did your parents stock, or did you go to a different church with your parents and then move to this church it started?
So my parents and I was raised going out to what at the time when I was little, it was called Latter-Rain, which is actually, Pastor David and Janelle's father's church. So I was raised in that church.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And then it became Metro West Ministries.
Yes.
And my parents we went out from Worcester all the way out to Ashland.
Well, that was really cool because when I started writing, I didn't realize the connections.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Janelle's dad passed and people were talking about it, I'm looking at my husband. I'm like, oh, my God, that's the church that I first went to that had the fullness of Christ, you know, the Holy Spirit and just the worship and all of that. A friend of mine, you know, if I sleep over, I have to go to church with her. And that was the church.
Oh, wow.
So crazy. I was like, wow. Even
so, when was that?
That I was like middle school-ish.
Wow.
Yeah. And if I slept over, I had to go to church. And I remember my poor friend's mom, I'd like tag on her, what does this mean? You know, we're singing. And I was just like, you know, you can sense the Holy Spirit, but I don't know what that is.
Which is wild because I would have been there at that time. My dad might have been one of the worship leaders at that Sunday.
Gosh.
Like,
so I just remember tugging on her. And the word rain always pops in my head because I'm like, I don't know what that means. What does that mean? So she would try to explain different things when we went. And actually, she is her daughter. Like, we went our separate ways in high school. She went to a different high school and blah, blah, blah. And we had our own lives. When I got to that point that I was calling out to the Lord, he kept saying, go call her, call her. And I remember arguing with her. First of all, I'm like, God, is this you?
Right.
And why would I do that? You know, and just having this whole conversation with the Lord, like that's my salvation story, just sitting there. And he's like, nope, get out of the car and go call her. Get out of the car and go call her. And I did. And it was her mom all these years later that said, come to my house on Thursday and I'll take you to a study.
Oh, I love that.
And I was 19.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm always like, girls, take your friends to church.
Yeah.
Talk to them about it because you don't know what's going to happen 10 years later.
Yep.
You don't know, or six years later, 5 years later, 20 years later, you know, God can put you on somebody's heart. Like, I remember going to that church.
Yep. It happens. It happened to me just recently where someone from my elementary school reached out and asked about church. So it's like, you just have no idea the impact that just talking about Jesus or talking about your being involved in faith or being involved in a church. And
it's being light.
Mm-hmm.
Being lights in the darkness.
Exactly.
And God stuck us there. And I remember leaving the Catholic study that Sunday night, next day, and there was a girl sitting next to me. I love Jesus, all written all over her books.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just another seed that God was planting.
Yeah.
You know, he wants, and that's something that he spoke to me a long time ago with my girls raising me. He's like, I want them in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
In the world, not of the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not what I want.
Them right here.
I know.
But yeah.
But anyway, so
that's where I grew up going to church. And then I was in so then I went through college, came home, got married. And then Pastor David and Janelle, they asked me and my husband if we would want to help them launch. Because Pastor David was my youth pastor my junior and senior year of high school.
Okay.
And it was through those years and just the impact he and Janelle had on my life that he really became my pastor. You know what I mean?
I do.
And so when I got home from college, I really leaned into getting counsel from him and Janelle, like leaning into that relationship as my spiritual mentorship.
Wow, that's really great.
Yeah. And then they started a young adults group called The Link. And that is how we all got basically linked up and everybody got married. So nobody was single anymore, all these young adults. But I met my husband, Jason, through church. That's most of our hangout time was through this thing called The Link, which is a young adult hangout thing. So we really got to know each other, and then that was it. We were going to be getting married a year later. So,
wow.
Yeah. So Pastor David and Janelle asked if we were interested in helping launch Life Song. And I knew it was going to be in this area, which for me was like, yes, you know, because I grew up driving, you know, an hour to church. And my friends at that time were like, we like your church. It's too far away. And I can remember thinking to myself, I was immediately ready to say yes. Like, let's go. Let's do this. And my husband was like, calm down. You know, we're going to pray. We're actually going to ask Jesus what he wants us to do. And I said, okay. And we did. We prayed. And I really just couldn't get that thought out of my head of, I get to bring what I love about life-giving church into my community. And
so important.
Yeah. And so it was shortly after that, we knew, we spoke to both, you know, Pastor Derek and Stacy, and we spoke to Pastor David and Janelle, really talked things through to get wise counsel, and we prayed, and we just knew that this was going to be the move that we were going to make and help them launch Life Song. And at that time, I wasn't involved in music ministry or anything like that, but I had gone to school at NIAC for, technically, when I started, I was going to be a psychology major because I just have a heart for women and seeing women in freedom and just all of it. And I was in my first year of that when the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to do music.
Interesting. And I thought, so did you do any worship before?
So I had done some worship in youth group. Pastor David had made me lead worship and I told him he's crazy, but I had always done what we'd call specials when I was like from 11 and on, which was when they would do communion or pass offering or something like that, where someone would come up and sing a song to like a track. So I can't tell you how many times I've been to Morningstar Bookstore to pick out a track on Saturday night that I would sing the next day.
I love
when I was like 12, 13, 14 years old. And my dad was always like, how do you memorize the lyrics so quickly? I was like, I don't know.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord God. But yeah, I always loved doing that. And then I started doing worship when I was in youth group, but didn't consider it anything that I was going to do in my life. Like I just didn't think it would be what I was going to do because I didn't have any education in music. I didn't have any theory. I didn't have any voice lessons. Yeah. I didn't have any of that. So when I was at school and the Lord said, you're going to do music, I was like, Lord, you're crazy. So you are just wild.
I love that.
I was like, yeah, I can sing. I know that I can sing. I'm grateful that I can sing, but I don't have what it takes to start taking college accredited classes in music and theory. Like, I have no background in it. And I remember calling my mom and dad and just saying, hey, you know, I believe that the Lord told me he wants me to do music. And my mom was like, okay. And then my dad, who played the guitar and he was in worship ministry growing up, said, well, you know, do you have faith like a mustard seed? And I was like, yeah. He said, then it'll move the mountain.
Oh,
I was like, let's go.
That's
so
beautiful.
Yeah. And I did it and I was able to get into the program and it was a lot of hard work to catch up to where everyone else was.
Because you missed.
Yeah.
Some time.
I missed, you know, it was my sophomore year at this time and I was taking freshman classes and trying to catch everything up.
Mm-hmm.
But first time I ever took voice lessons, but everything was based in what would be classical music. So all my training was in opera.
And
singing with more of that classical style and even the style of, I graduated with what's called a Bachelor's of Sacred Music.
Yeah. I wanted you to explain what
that meant. Which basically is church music, which is, you know, doing and operating in the context of congregational worship.
So you went to a Christian college?
Yes. NIAC College in New York. And that's where I went. And so I graduated with that degree, but was not actually operating in it when Pastor David and Janelle talked to us about launching the church. I was working at the time at a daycare that was out in Ashland.
Okay.
And I knew that regardless of whether we had stayed at Metro West or if we were going to Life Song, that I was going to have to step into it. The Lord was very clear. He said, it doesn't matter at this point which one you choose, but either one, you're going to be doing worship.
Okay.
So when we prayed and we made the decision to launch Life Song with Pastor Dave and Janelle, I said, I have to be involved in music. And he was basically like, Pastor David was, yeah, I know.
Of course
you're going to do that. I knew that. I was like, okay, well, you know things I don't. And so we just started preparing and praying and And then I was just part of the worship since the very beginning, leading alongside him.
Years,
yes,
right?
Wild. Mm-hmm. Janelle, myself, Pastor David was leading worship at the time. And
oh, I didn't realize that they were musical. I had no idea.
So he was leading. She was singing. Oh, she's got a beautiful voice. Wow. Incredible worshiper, heart of worship, and just leading people in worship. She's just amazing. But there's a season for everything.
There is.
And so I really, you know, he helped me and shaped me and, you know, really invested in me as a worship leader. And my father, of course, gave me so much wisdom and is really like one of the biggest role models in worship for me. So I started doing it. And then it was in 2017 that I was at the time working at a nonprofit in Worcester called U Inc.
Oh, yes.
In their quality management and training department.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I was working there and, you know, I'm so grateful because you know when you can look back and go, okay, I know why I was there and for what reason I was there. Multifaceted, of course, but the skills you learn in a place. And then it was about 2017 that just I was being upheaved inside my spirit of being within organizational ministry and being in ministry.
Okay.
I would say full time, but part time because I'm a mom too.
So you were worshiping
part
time and then you were working full time at U Inc.
Yes. Okay. So I was working at U Inc. I was still only part time working at U Inc. and then volunteering as a worship leader and helping build the teams and then took on a small stipend role to help just better equip the teams and the time that it took to invest in getting people on-ramped and onto the team. And then I remember sitting down with Pastor David and just saying, I need pastoral counsel because I'm feeling a very strong pull to be in ministry.
Wow.
And
it's a big step.
It was a huge step you know, I'm serving here at LifeSong and I just, you know, I don't know if he wants it to be here or where he wants me to be and what he wants, but I just knew that if I didn't listen to that call, like it felt as though my spirit was going to go one way. And if I didn't go, like it was going to rip me apart. That's how intense it felt.
Wow.
And I just remembered, I prayed and interceded a lot before even sitting down with Pastor David. And we had really great conversations. He's so good about just, you know, really asking all the right questions. And there was actually a role at the church for a worship team leader that I actually helped.
That is so good.
Well, it's funny. I helped build the job, like the role description.
Wow.
Because I was doing a lot of it in the,
so
what I was
doing.
So you knew
what was needed.
But there was this one thing that I just felt like I can't do that, which was to lead, like facilitating the band and the musical knowledge that it took for that. And so I basically wrote myself off of that. Like, that's not for me kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he just was like, and why is it not for you? And I was like, because I can't do that. And he was like, all right. So he went and talked to, you know, Kiko, who had just he was starting to kind of take on music directing. Joe Muscolino had been in the role and they, you know, there was a little transition there. And they both were just like, no, it's Joy.
I love it.
So they came back.
Just confirmation.
Had conversations and it was like, no, I'm going to step into this. And so I was doing that, continuing to operate in that until the Lord, you know, had this opportunity when Worcester needed some support over there and just stepped into the campus directing role. So I do both now. I oversee worship, team leading in worship, and also have been, you know, operating as campus director over in Worcester. So that's been what I've been doing. Yeah.
That is really exciting. And it's a huge step of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And how has that been for you?
Really good, really encouraging. And I think what makes it easy has been the steps of faith along the way. That just like when you take a step of faith and he's faithful and you take a step of faith, like, so as things kind of get a bigger step, you're like, okay, well, I took a small step way over here, way back then. And I've seen how you've been faithful.
Yeah. How did I end up here?
Yeah. So it's like, okay, I just keep taking the steps and he just keeps opening the doors and, you know,
just keep walking through,
just
in faith.
And, and open-handedly because it's all his anyway.
Exactly. It's not in that strength.
Anyway. Yeah.
You know, we get so nervous or, you know, everybody questions why me or what do I have? And it's really just what God wants to use that he's brought you through or walked you through. It's just all him and he's going to do it. And somebody had said to me once, I don't want somebody in that position who knows what they're doing and mm-hmm. feels fully confident. I want somebody who knows that it's only through Christ mm-hmm. that they can move forward and be able to be used by God, that it's not in our own strength.
Yep.
And so it's kind of interesting that God does call us to things that I'm hearing you say and what I've shared too, that they're just a little bit out there. They're just a little mm-hmm. bit out of our comfort zone. They're just a little bit, no, I don't think so. But I really believe that's where he calls us to because for us to know it's not us.
Yeah.
We couldn't do it on our own.
Oh,
it's
only
through Christ's strength.
Thank you, Jesus, that he does it.
And I just love that. And then to see how the Lord touches people through that, mm-hmm. you know, makes me want to cry, mm-hmm. you know. And like with worship, the Lord really speaks to me through worship. Mm-hmm. And that is a huge, I don't know if you'd call it a burden or a blessing, but it's a, you know, it's almost like if a pastor is going to go up and speak, you know, they have, you know, God puts them in that place, but they're also held accountable, you know, and worship is worship.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. like you're ushering in the presence mm-hmm. of the Lord. Yeah. And I just know for me, the Lord has, you know, given me visions through worship, you know, spoken to me about things through worship. So in that aspect of worship, have you ever felt that, you know, or has anybody ever talked to you about that? Or have you ever understood the weightiness of that?
Oh, yeah.
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 And then has anybody ever shared with you through your worship, you know, God speaking to them mm-hmm. or any of that? Do you have any of those?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes, definitely. And I do not take any of it lightly. I think that the holiness of God and the reverence of God and the fact that, I mean, we're very you know, I am, and I know that our leadership at church, even the reason why we don't call it a stage, we're very intentional to call it a platform, because we're not there to perform. And a stage is something that, you know, highlights performance versus
exactly.
a platform, which is an influence. Like I get to teach people what, you know, genuine, authentic worship of the Lord can look like, biblical worship, when we, you know, the Hebrew words for praise, you know, yada in the sanctuary, you know, your hands up, shout for joy.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to teach people who may not have, you know, when you come in and you are saved at 19 and you don't know necessarily, you know, how to worship God with abandon, right? And that it's okay to sing loudly and proclaim truth. And it's good to do that. It's biblical to do that.
I don't know. When I was 19 and got saved, no, I was all in.
She was like, I was there.
I remember at one church, I was young, and I remember somebody coming over to me to have a conversation because they thought that I was like somebody of status in the church, which was so funny because I'm like, no. Well, do you do this? I'm like, no. Oh, I just thought because, you know, you're always so worshiping, which is so funny because I could never understand. To me, that just was so natural.
Yeah.
It was just so natural to me. And I guess the depth of the Lord, you know, being your father, being your savior, and having that huge intimate relationship that you just, like, for me, just didn't and couldn't get from anywhere else.
Yeah.
It was just a whole new level for me of humility and love and just the whole overwhelmed mm-hmm. of who he is and the greatness of who he is.
Yeah.
Like, who could stand in his presence?
Exactly.
It's just, you know, it's just for me, like I would, and I still do now, you'll just feel the weight and have to kneel, you know? And it's just the goodness of the Lord and knowing how much you don't deserve.
Yeah. And worship
is the weightiness of it. Knowing that you do not deserve the love of this Father that you have.
And it's worship is that outward expression of an inward conviction. Mm-hmm. It's the things that I know in my soul, my spirit, that they know about the Lord. Like, how could I not respond.
Yes.
You know, and I think we are all worshiping something. Yes. All of us. Humanity was created to worship. It's what is the focus of our worship. Every song you hear is worshiping something, right?
Yes.
And so why wouldn't my worship want to be centered around the one who deserves it the most, that I've received everything that I have as a gift from him, everything. Nothing I have done. I can't take even credit for the one breath in my lungs.
I can't take
credit for this.
My life
is his.
Exactly.
I just want to honor and pour back and minister back to his heart in thanksgiving and with the gratitude in every moment, because it's all his. And even the hard parts of life, he's in them. He was with me in them, you know? And so I can just go into his presence with thanksgiving and gratitude that he's always there. And
I know, like, and this is what I was wondering too, if anybody has ever said anything like this to you, because, and actually I never really said anything to the worship team. We were at a different church. The Lord literally healed me of fear and anxiety through worship.
Wow.
He literally, like, it brings me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
Cause as a Christian, I went through 10 years of fear and anxiety as a Christ follower, being like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know? And then we stepped into this new church. We were there a couple weeks and they were singing, I think it was Line in the Land by Lenin. I'm probably not getting
Leland?
That. Thank you. Yes. And he just started just showing me like a vision.
Yep.
Because at that point, I had known him as the Lamb of God. You know, I knew the other, but it was such a powerful vision and transformation.
Mm.
I'll just share a little bit.
I love it.
He was showing me, like, I was standing there and there was light on me, but it was darkness all around.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept seeing like these things coming towards me from the dark. And I kept looking and they kept coming and coming and coming. And then they started to come out of the dark and into the light and they started to go slower and slower. And what it was fear and anxiety.
Oh, wow.
So powerful. And I'm watching and all of a sudden they come into the light and they start to move a little bit slower. And then all I can see is this lion rise up from within me and just this huge roar.
Wow.
And immediately, this fear and anxiety fell to their knees. And the Lord was like, nobody can stand in the presence of the King.
Nope.
Nobody can touch you because I live inside of you.
Yep.
They don't have any authority. And it was just so powerful. And that's what I mean about worship ushering in the
presence
of the Lord.
Yep.
And just so much healing takes place. And
it does.
And you cannot not recognize the importance of worship.
Oh, it's so important. It's critical in our walk with the Lord to have not just corporate worship. Corporate worship is incredibly powerful.
Mm-hmm.
It's an incredible, incredible thing, but also that private worship, private time of worship. And even if, you know, I think about back before everybody had songs out, now you could go on YouTube and Spotify and listen to all these things, is, you know, singing your prayers and like just worshiping God through prayer and through song in your own way too, privately with God. You know, it says, you know, put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And sometimes it's just singing and praising God from your heart in your own time.
Because some of us just are not gifted with that voice.
It's okay. Like, we're all called to make a joyful noise, you know?
And it could be just that, a noise, but that's okay.
And having times of just private worship, putting worship music on and just soaking in it, and then coming to church and worshiping when the congregation is just, it's all of it is
fullness,
important.
The fullness of it, even ushering in prayer.
Yeah.
Like, I just find myself sometimes just praying, you know, the first song, you know, and just, it's just a powerful thing. So I just wanted to get your thoughts on that as a worship leader.
Yeah. I don't want to be doing it by myself, you know, when we're in corporate worship.
You don't want to be performing.
I don't want to perform.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
Like, I don't want to do this if you guys aren't with me.
Don't
like,
be looking at me.
Just, like, let's go, people. And just having the congregation respond and exalt the name of the Lord together. Like, And then I'm just like, let's go. We're in this together. Like, we're worshiping Jesus together. We're going into the throne room together. Mm-hmm. This is, mm-hmm. we're going into battle together alongside each other. And I do realize, and there are times when the Lord, you know, speaks into my heart in the moment and just says, there are people in this room that can't sing these words right now. So you sing it for them. And so I will just declare it over people mm-hmm. in the moment mm-hmm. to just minister over mm-hmm. them, as, you know, David would have Saul. You know, there are just those times when people don't even have the strength to sing the words.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it for you.
And that is one, I resonate with that so much, because I remember early on when I was talking about worshiping, I remember the Lord saying to me, no, you keep your hands up because you're worshiping when others can't. Mm-hmm. They're looking at you, mm-hmm. my Holy Spirit is moving through yes. them because they're unable to do it right now. Mm-hmm. So I 100% understand that. And then also the conviction mm-hmm. on my part, because I did have an incident a few years back, and I shared a little bit earlier with you today that I am not able to sing because mm-hmm. of the muscles, they get too strained and everything gets too tight, and I can't lift up heavy things. I can't raise my hands in worship anymore. And it's so funny because I remember the Lord saying to me, you remember when you said, you know what I mean? I wonder mm-hmm. why these people, you know, don't, you know, raise the hand. We don't know what people are going through. And I remember looking at my husband just so devastated, maybe because mm-hmm. I just want to worship the Lord the way I like to worship mm-hmm. the Lord. And I remember looking at him one Sunday at church and I was almost in tears and I'm like, I'm just not going to be able to worship ever again. I feel like, why would he take that away from me? Mm. You know, that is like my breath, you know, it's like prayer, you know, it's just your breath. Yeah. And my husband looked at me, he goes, honey, you can still worship. It just might look a little different, you know? And it was just spoke to my soul, mm-hmm. like, okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Worship is the condition of the heart. It's not necessarily what it looks like on the outside.
Yeah. And I'm just
the heart's outflow.
I've always been such a, you know, I don't know, but I would just raise my hands.
Demonstrative, we'd say.
You know, you know, whatever. And so that was hard, but in it, it's a new level. Mm-hmm. It's a new level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's just a different level. And it's so funny because somebody came up to me a couple of months ago. And this was strange, but somebody came up and said, I was watching you worship, and I'm thinking, okay, that's just weird. but you're just so full of worship, mm-hmm. and I could see that. And it was from God to me through somebody else, you know, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Like, no, I see you.
Yeah.
I see you. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Totally. So good.
Anyway, so let's get to your CD or song.
Yes,
I don't sort of call the CD anymore, but it's called Yours.
It's
absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's a single.
A single. Mm-hmm. So how did that happen?
I've been writing music since I was an adolescent, like just writing songs, just singing songs to the Lord and writing songs. And then I got, when I was in college, my family bought me for my birthday a guitar and I started writing music.
Okay. Did you go to guitar lessons?
I did some guitar lessons when I was in school. I would not say I play any instrument.
Okay.
I do not play any instrument. I cannot go and just sit down with you and sing a song and play something. I dabble.
Okay.
I dabble in the instrument.
I'm going to take a safe step here and just say I dabble.
I dabble enough that I can strum some chords and I can play on the piano keyboard enough that I can write songs. Okay.
Oh, so, that's huge though.
Which is huge.
That's huge.
It starts something.
Yeah.
And then I hand it to the people that actually do play instruments to go, can you make this something nice?
Wow.
Okay.
But to even learn that basic is mm-hmm. pretty good.
Thankful for taking music classes in college. So I have been writing music for a long time and I have just got little stockpiles of little things, just whether it's a chorus or a verse or just whatever the Lord births in through my prayer time, my time alone with him. And it was around 2021.
Okay, so pretty recent.
Yeah, 2021. So we had just finished as a church recording and releasing both Speak and Victory.
I remember.
Two songs. And we had been working on those. And then I, in my own time, was just kind of working on things. Because not everything that you write is something that would be like a congregational worship song.
Yeah, I agree.
There are just songs that are more for reflection or just personal time or just putting in your car and playing, and it's, you know, inspiration and that kind of thing. And so there were some songs that I knew weren't necessarily a congregational, like this is for something that we would do at church. But I was working on them anyway. And then for my 40th birthday, my family, my brothers, my parents gave me some money, specifically said, we know that you have a song inside of you and we want you to go record it. So they
gave me,
yeah, it was incredible. And at that time, I didn't realize it or know it, but they had already been talking to Kiko Laverne, who is the music director, because he has connections with different people and producers and stuff, just so that when it was time, he could help me get connected to the right people. And so at that time, I'd already shared a bunch of different things just to make sure that I wasn't missing anything, like, okay, maybe this is a congregational song, maybe it's not, mm-hmm. kind of like mm-hmm. getting his ear on some things. And he had heard the basis for yours already. And when
you mean
from me.
Yeah. Okay.
And so when my family started asking him, he was already thinking, ooh, I think I know which one she should do.
Okay.
And so when
played things for him.
He already knew.
Okay.
So when my family talked to him, he already knew what was going on before I did. And then I came up to him and I was like, oh, so I guess you're having chats with my family. Yeah, right. He's like, what did they say? You know,
who else knows?
And he goes, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to do yours. He goes, that's exactly the one I knew you needed to do.
It was confirmation.
Yeah. So we recorded what we call a scratch, which is just kind of like a rough draft.
Yeah.
And then he submitted it to somebody that he knows named Dan Burke, who he works with often. And Dan took it and I expressed, because when I first wrote the song, it had more of a, I don't want to use even like, people are going to know my terms by the time that we're done with this, but a more of a moody, broody sound to it.
Okay.
Because when I was originally singing it, it was out of a really difficult place in my life.
Okay.
And I was coming back into a place of just fully trusting God. And coming, you know, you go through seasons in your life and you face challenges. Mm-hmm. And when things aren't going the way you thought they would, mm-hmm. and prayers aren't being answered the way you think they should, mm-hmm. you start going, do you see me?
Are you even listening?
Like, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm crying out for good things, like for good things for people I love, and I'm not seeing the fruit of it. And you just get frustrated. And then all of a sudden you realize you're starting to take back control. You're starting to take back trust that was childlike before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That was just like freely given, because you just... everything always seemed to just work because you followed his precepts and he was faithful and
walked through it and everything was good. Yeah.
In this one season of time. And of course everything exploded in COVID, right?
Yeah.
So things were already tumultuous before COVID, and then COVID hit and I was like, wow, there's too much going on. And
so that's when you were writing your song during mm-hmm. COVID.
Yeah.
So God did a lot of things during COVID.
He did.
He really does
take beauty. It creates beauty out of the ashes. And so by the time that I'd come to the other side of writing the lyrics to it, the Lord had really put it on my heart. And I wanted this song with such a heavy theme of literally everything is yours, which is actually pretty weighty when you actually think about it. When you come down to the fact of, actually, I don't even know if I have another breath in my lungs without you. I'm not even guaranteed one more breath or one more day.
It's huge.
Everything is yours. You know, whatever I have in my hands belongs to you. And every gift, like, I can't take credit for being able to sing well. I work to be excellent at what I do? Yes, but I can't take credit for anything that I do. It's all his.
It is.
I'm only in the place I am.
Because he opened the doors.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because my parents said yes to him. Because Pastor Fry said yes to him. Like,
yes.
I am just the outflow of his faithfulness through generations.
Amen. Amen.
And everything that is in me is a product of what was built upon through them. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
I can't take credit for anything.
I do.
And it's such our flesh that wants to take credit and be like, but I did this thing. So I battle that too. Please don't hear me and think that I'm like, no.
I'm human.
We all have to battle the beast of pride. I'll tell you that. And just, but when you get to that place, and I describe this in one of the small groups that we do often, which is Freedom. And it really relates to worship. And when you like worship, and entering worship is like entering a river. It's like a river of worship, and it's entering into the Spirit of God. And when you walk with the Lord and you begin to trust him and you take that step into the water, right?
Yeah.
Take that step. You know, those first couple steps, you know, you're still only ankle deep, right?
Yeah.
So you feel the coolness of it. You can feel the touch of God on your life, but you're still holding all the weight. You're still carrying all the weight mm-hmm. of your body, of mm-hmm. all the weight of the world on your shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. But as you continue to take steps deeper and deeper in relationship with Jesus, in worship of Jesus, the further in you get, the more that weight releases, and that water just carries the weight.
It's beautiful.
And I just can tell you, in a season of my life, I have been fully, fully surrendered to Jesus. And in the middle of the river, right, floating and bobbing in whatever direction he wanted to take me. And then things in life got hard, and things I'd faced, I'd never faced before. And I found my way to the shore. Wow. And that's when yours started to get written. It was starting to go, am I, like, what do you see when you look at me, God? Like, I feel like I'm just failing at everything. I'm not, you know, I'm just, and he just said, come back in. Just trust me again. Trust me. I'm still here. I'm still listening. I'm still, you know, and I just go, everything I have is yours. And so I walked back in and I just released it all back to him. And when you do that, it's just, there's so much freedom and there's so much joy and there's so much peace.
It is.
And so I wanted the song not to be so moody broody.
Okay.
I wanted it to have that you're sitting in the car, you're rolling your windows down and you're on your way to the beach and you're just, you got your hand in the air and you're just, you know, just with the peace of God. And so that's what, when Dan and Kiko started working on it, that's what I was like, I want peaceful. I want when you, everything I have is yours, everything, just take it. I'm giving it all. You know, I want it to be peaceful. And that's how it really birthed into the song that it is today.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
It's absolutely beautiful. So how long did you say it took from start to finish?
So I started it, like I said, in 2021, I started writing it. And then, of course, we didn't release it in 2023 until 2023.
Yeah,
okay. So we recorded it in 2022 in that summer. And then I just sat on it. Sat on it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it just was waiting on me to be ready to take that next step. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I think I was like, okay, Lord, am I ready to do this? I want to do this. What am I supposed to do next? But you know, there's all these little things like, okay, now I got to take pictures and like do all these things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. But it really was just battling like, ugh, am I ready to actually just release this?
I understand.
You know, am I ready to just release it?
I understand that.
So we got to the spring of 2023 and I was just like, yep, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. It is yours. It's not even mine anyway.
So who am I to hold it back?
And who am I to hold it back?
Yep. Yep.
You know, I don't have any, and I think I had, you know, mentioned this to you, but people ask, you know, what do you want? Like, what do you want from all of this? Like, and I'm just
nothing.
Like, I don't want anything. I don't want anything. Honestly, I don't have any huge aspirations to be like a recording artist or anything like that. It really is the creativity of God through me in my own personal time that, you know, if it ministers to one person, that's great.
And that's,
you know?
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Because even with the project that I did, getting to the end of it, you know, I had the weightiness of it, like you're saying, oof, this is going to come out.
Yeah.
This is, you know, how do I feel about that? But while I was doing it, I didn't feel any of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just the Lord. And then when it got to the end, it's interesting that you're talking about it, because then you're like, oh, wait a minute. I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah.
You know, so I get that. And it literally came down to, you know what, Lord, this is yours and you called me to it. And I know if you just touch one person, it was all worth it.
It's all worth it.
It's all worth it for that one soul turned to Jesus, that one heart healed, that one peace that was still held back that somebody lets go of.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the Lord just picking up the pieces of somebody and just putting it all back together, knowing that God is there. He hasn't left them. Yep. Just come to him, ask for forgiveness. And he's, you know, running arms open wide, yeah. just waiting for that hug, waiting yeah. for you to come home.
Totally.
So
totally.
It's so good to hear that.
Yeah.
You know,
and I think there's a level of me holding it back was honestly probably steeped in fear of rejection. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, and I know my community loves me and I know my family loves me. And so it's like, it's just, you're like, they're going to love it because they love me. You know, I know that.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's that outer layer of people that you're just like, you know, what if I'm rejected by other people? And the Lord's like, I haven't asked you to be obedient to them. I've asked you to be obedient to me. And I'm like, yep.
Yeah. That one hurts.
Yeah. So I was like, I will be obedient to you then, Lord, and I will do what you've asked me to do.
And that's, I totally get that. That's exactly mm-hmm. it. This isn't about me. You call me to do something. It doesn't matter yeah. how I feel. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or feels, because if you called me to it, mm-hmm. then you're going to walk through it.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Exactly.
It's not ours.
Yep.
You're just putting it out there. Your hands are up and you're like, yep. you do it. You do it, Lord. It's yours.
Yeah. And I love it. And I love that we get to do it in our communities. Like, I love seeing books come out from people that I get to rub shoulders with. You know what yeah. I mean? Mm-hmm. It puts something so amazingly tangible and real about it that it's like, this is somebody that I can sit across from.
Right.
Have a conversation with.
And I think, like, I don't know music, but I'm thinking it's kind of the same from what you're saying, is you're putting your whole self out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you're laying yourself out there.
I'm literally putting my private prayer life out there. It's like, oh, it's, Jesus.
Yes. Yes. And it was funny because in writing the book a little bit, I never thought there wasn't anything that I should write.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of it, you know, that fear, like, oh, geez, maybe I should take that out or maybe I should do this. And the Lord is like, I called you to write the book.
Yeah.
I called you to write it.
Yeah.
So write it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. somebody might read that and that's what they needed to hear. You can't stop picking things apart.
Exactly.
You know, and pulling this and pulling that because you're afraid of this or you don't want to
yep.
do this.
Yep.
You're the complete vessel.
Yep.
You can't hold anything back.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly.
It's all his. Like you're saying, it's all yours.
Mm-hmm.
It's not mine. I can't pick and choose.
Mm-mm. I have to just be obedient, be courageous, do the work. It actually says this. I'm going to actually get it out and read it because this is such a critical, you know, portion of scripture for me. And I did pull it up just to make sure I wouldn't forget. It's in 1 Chronicles 28, and this is a portion of scripture where David is actually handing the building plans of the temple over to Solomon.
Yep.
And when you actually go in and read the description of what this temple is supposed to be, like, it's a pretty massive undertaking.
It is.
And he said to David, he said, be strong and courageous and do, and it says, then David continued, be strong and courageous and do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. He will see to it that all the work related to the temple of the Lord is finished correctly. This is 1 Chronicles 28, 20. And I remember reading that. And when I read that, the first time I ever read it, I go, oh my goodness, Solomon just had to be courageous, be faithful to do the work. And God would see that it was done correctly. And Solomon had to have a heart tuned to God, right? And then God was going to work through him and the builders to make sure it's done correctly. And now when we fast forward to the New Testament, the New Covenant, it says that God is building his temple with people.
Mm-hmm.
But the principles of God are the same.
Same. Yep.
So we need to be courageous and do the work. And God will work through us to make sure the building of the temple is done correctly. Because it's his temple. It's his bride. It's his body. And he's going to make sure it's done correctly. He has a plan and a purpose. If we are tuning our heart to his, and we're obedient to follow the wisdom of Jesus and his example for our lives, that God will use us. And that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's going to be in organizational ministry or be living a life of ministry, but wherever they are in life, is their mission field. It is right. their ministry.
Right.
If that's a stay-at-home mom,
right.
that is your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If you work in an office, those people around you are the ministry. Mm-hmm. If you are in, you know, whatever it is, stacking shelves, the people that you stack shelves with, that's your ministry. Mm-hmm. Like, don't ever minimize what you're doing for the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Because that is your ministry. And God's going to use you. Just tune your heart to His and keep Him involved in it. And He wants to use you. So,
and that's a word from the Lord for all of us, you know, that He has planted us where we are. And He's the one who's going to, you know, I'm picturing a garden, you know, He's the one who's going to make it grow, you know, like that's it. You know, we're just obedient to do it, but He's taking it the rest of the way, you know, and doing whatever.
And it takes the pressure off.
Right.
It's like, okay, I have a holy reverence and fear of the Lord that I want to honor Him with the words that come out of my mouth. Like, I want to honor Him in counsel that I give to somebody. I'm gonna be held accountable for everything that I say. I don't take that lightly.
No.
But at the same time, I know that even when I flub it up a little bit, or if I don't necessarily say the right thing, that He is gonna do something in that moment that only He can do, because His Holy Spirit surpasses our flaws. He took into consideration our flaws, you know? And so I'm grateful for that, and that I can trust that He's gonna do something even in areas that I make a mistake. So
I don't know if it was in our notes or we talked about it, but humility.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because you had said something about false humility. Was that in the questions?
Yeah.
That really struck out to me, because I think there was a part of my life a few years back that, you know, because I think in the world it's, you know, everybody's grabbing hold of their imperfections. Mm-hmm. And I find that can turn into a badge of honor.
Yeah.
And I know the Lord stopped me. It happened for a couple of weeks, and it was like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like, ooh, okay, yep, this is what it means by false humility, because you're actually wearing it like, oh, I'm not perfect. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I'm just like you, kind of thing. Yeah. Instead of it bringing you to, oh, Lord, I'm not perfect. Oh, I messed that up. Teach me how to do it right.
Yeah.
Teach me. Because it's almost like with false humility, you stop the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's like you're grabbing hold of it and saying, well, you can't touch me in that area because I'm already humble in it and I can already say that I'm messed up in it. So you just keep saying that. But that leaves a hole.
Yeah.
And actually an arm up to the Lord saying, you can't touch this part.
Mm-hmm.
And that is false humility. Mm-hmm. I loved that. I think that was something that I highlighted in our paper conversation back and forth.
Yep.
But how huge that is, you know, especially in a time where so many people feel so comfortable with their sin that they now wear it with a badge of honor instead of taking it to the Lord saying, oof, you know, and I think, need some help with that.
Yeah, one of the things my parents had said, you know, I think it probably comes maybe from Pastor Fry, but he always said, you know, the Lord loves you just as you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay that way.
Love it.
And
exactly.
It's like, some people will use like, I'm just, you know, I am this, or this is just the way that I am.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I can't change, right? You know, and I know how hard it is sometimes to release and like let go of, you know, a character trait or a habit or whatever, and just to allow even somebody else to say, hey, this is a blind spot in your life. And who are we inviting in to say, you know, tell me when you see something that isn't reflecting Christ. And like, do we have those people in our lives that we can listen to?
It's important.
It is so important to people that you trust and that can say, you know, this was, you know, badly done, Joy. Like, you shouldn't have responded that way. Or, hey, this is how I handled this or whatever. And like, they can actually help shape and mold the character of Christ in you.
Iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, exactly.
Because iron sharpens iron.
We have the word of God. I mean, Jesus is very clear about how we're supposed to act.
Exactly.
And sometimes we just need somebody on the outside to say that one, how you behave, that one in it.
You like, just got to step on the line a little bit. Let's throw you back in.
And to be able to receive that.
Yeah.
And not throw up this defense of like, ooh, don't see that. Like, I have an excuse for why we do it, you know, and like just say, yeah, I did do that.
I messed that up.
I messed it up. And then just allow the Lord to work it out in you. And then don't hold on to it as like
a
ball and chain.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's a huge growth thing when you get to that part that you can be like, yeah, I did that. And you're anticipating and you know, and you have enough faith to know that he's going to change that.
Oh yeah.
He's going to change that.
Definitely.
Because I know, like, looking back, you talked a little bit about the Freedom Group.
Yeah.
And that was the second group I took, and it was a great group. I'm literally going to cry because I went through the group, and every part that they have you pray, mm-hmm. I sat there and I was like, I don't have that, you know? And then the next one, I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, show me, I didn't have that. And at the end, I was sitting there literally in tears. I'm just going to cry now because how much he had brought me through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not to say that there isn't more work to be done. I'm mm-hmm. not saying that. But all those big things
yeah.
that he had brought me through and healed me from.
Yeah.
And to sit there, I remember one of the pastors coming over to me and asking me how his Freedom Group. And I'm overwhelmed because I'm free.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm walking in yeah. freedom.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like all of that since 19, I'll tell my age, 52, 19 to 52.
Yeah.
That's a lot of years and a lot of work and a lot of relationship
yeah.
with the Lord.
Yeah.
And then be like, wow, you know, and to be, and I say be over here, not as to say I've arrived, because that's not
we
at
never
all
arrive.
The truth. Because that is not at all the truth. But to have your eyes open to say, we can share hope.
Yeah.
That there is freedom in this area, in this area, in this area. And that's what God, in our humility and always in our relationship with the Lord and submitting to him, this is where you get.
Yeah.
If you do the work,
yeah.
and what I mean by work is just spending time with the Lord.
Spending time with
honest.
The Lord.
That's
and
it.
Releasing things.
That's it.
And releasing offenses. And releasing, like, just release the things.
That's it. Exactly.
And all of it, and it's replaced with joy.
Exactly.
And it's replaced with the Holy Spirit. It's replaced with freedom.
Freedom.
It's replaced with,
yeah.
And you're like, I didn't even know. I didn't know.
I
didn't need any of that stuff. You know?
I didn't even know. Yes.
Because exactly. people are afraid, like, if I release this, then what am I or who am I? Or, you know, it's almost like that fear of, if I release these things, my identity is gone.
I get that, because there was a time in my Christian walk where I felt like I needed problems, because if I didn't, then what kind of relationship would I have with God? Because I always took everything to him mm-hmm. and he always fixed them. So, and that's a beautiful thing. But then I was like, when I was starting to be okay, it was kind of like, okay, but that's the only relationship I know with God.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we transform that now,
yep.
you know, into, well, you don't have these big things anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You still have things.
Yeah.
But let's grab hold of the freedom.
Right. Yeah.
And let's rejoice in that.
Yep.
And now let's grow in that relationship with the Lord in a different way.
Yeah. You and know? Then it's turning around and helping others walk through it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the most beautiful part of when you are walking in the fullness of God's freedom is he's called us to make disciples.
Yeah.
And to help other people walk in that. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can't bring something forth. And I think maybe you'll agree with this, but writing a book or writing a song, you went through it and you mm-hmm. got to the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go back and write this song. Like, you were writing it in the process,
mm-hmm.
but in the end to put it out,
yeah,
you had gotten through it,
yeah.
you know? And that's what I feel like for me is like, God's working it all out. God's working it all out. Like, he's working all this stuff out mm-hmm. with you in this song. And then you got this beautiful song that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're in freedom from everything that song was written about. And so now God can use that to bring freedom to others.
Mm,
so now,
wow, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's just so, I think it's so exciting.
It is. It's so good. And it's such a testament of how he does things, you know? Because we do the same thing with just the word of God, you know? We look at what he walked other people through to gain strength and to gain freedom. And it's just, he's such a big God.
He is.
Cool God.
He is.
Yeah.
So this has been great. There is one scripture that you actually spoke about earlier,
okay, yep.
but I don't think it wasn't the one that you read. So I want to read it. Or was it the one you read? We'll find out.
Know.
If it is, that's all right. 2 Corinthians 4:5.
Okay.
Was that what you read? Anyway.
I read Chronicles, I think.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So this is, for what we preach is not ourselves. What we preach is not ourselves,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Christ's sake. Love that. And then further, this is what you were talking about.
Clay jars.
We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that all this surpassing power is from God and not from us. And exactly, just letting it all go.
Yeah.
Letting it just flow through and your hands are out. And it's just a beautiful thing. I just want to thank you for sharing your heart and what God has done in your life. Where can they get your song?
So they can get it on Spotify, on Apple Music, on iTunes, and then eventually it'll be on YouTube when we do some stuff with that. And then I'll be working on another one soon. So
you have another one in the works?
Yes, I do.
Good for you.
But yeah, I'm really thankful for being here and chatting with you and, you know, sharing from our hearts is such a treat.
I think it's great because I feel like I got to know you a lot better. And that's my heart. Like, I want to know people.
Yeah.
So let's just end in prayer. Yeah. I want to pray a blessing on our listeners. Yeah. And I believe that through our conversation, God has already been speaking to our listeners about maybe something that God was calling them to do and for them to step out in faith in that. So let's just partner with them and pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this time that we got to spend with Joy and for our listeners here today. Father, you are such a good God. You are such a good God. You just bring us through so much. Why? So that we can share the love of Christ with others.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just pray that during this whole conversation, I just know that you are touching some listeners specifically. Father God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit touch them right now where they are. Father God, just pull out all of those gifts that you put in their heart, in their mind, in their body, in their soul that they've been hanging on to. Father God, now is the time.
Yes.
Now is the time. So I just come in agreement with you, Father God, and pray that those just continue to move forward, that they just start to walk out in faith.
Yes,
just put fear. We just come against fear in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
we just
come
against fear in the name of Jesus that just wants to hold back the things that you have called your people to.
Yes.
So Father God, we just want to come in agreement with you and call those gifts out right now.
Praise
for
God.
Any listeners, agree with what you're calling them to do in the name of Jesus
yes,
and that
Lord.
They can move forward in faith for such a time as this.
Yes, Lord. I just stand in agreement, Father, and I just thank you for the gifts and the callings that you've placed on everyone's life, Lord God, not just those who are listening, but all of us, Lord. You've called us all to yourself. You desire to be in relationship with us all, Lord, and I just continue to ask that you would pour out your spirit on those who are listening, Jesus, and that as they are leaning into your presence right now, Father, that you would just birth in them a renewed sense of your joy and your peace and your love and your grace and your mercy right now, right where they are, and that they have not failed, Lord. For those that are thinking about the things they've wanted to do or felt like they've been called to do, God, and they haven't done it yet, Lord, they're not failing. There is a season, Jesus, and just give them the courage to do the work. You know, just as you spoke through David to Solomon, be courageous and do the work, and you will make sure that the building of the temple is done correctly. And God, we just know that if we're obedient to you and we live a life of servitude and serving and loving people and being available to people, Lord God, that you're going to do amazing things in and through us because we are those fragile clay jars, and we just want to glorify you and bring you all the glory, God. And so we just lift them up to you. And I just am grateful for each and every one of them. In your name, Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Just a reminder that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Please stop by one of our Morningstar bookstore locations and pick up a gift. I want to thank our listeners for joining the conversation today. Praying the Lord spoke to each and every one of you and believing we can move forward together and shine as bright lights in our communities. For more information about today's guest, please be sure to go to the episode show notes. If you found this podcast engaging and encouraging, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow together as we share our experiences and insights for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you or someone you know is shining the light of Christ and feels led to share what the Lord is doing and has done in and through your life, we would love to hear about it. Please go to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com and leave us a message. Visit our Morningstar bookstore locations and discover our wide selection of Christian books, Bibles, and gifts. Also visit our website at morningstarbookstore.com for more selections and direct-to-home shipping. On behalf of the entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thanks for joining the conversation.